Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke. Many, many years ago, a professor of religion at the state university that I was studying at said, "We have this man, Jesus, who so changed the course of history that we measure our years by his life. And we have four accounts of this man's life. And if we can't depend on those four accounts for understanding this man, we have nothing to explain him." Now, that man was not giving a ringing endorsement of the authority of Scripture, but he was telling truth. To understand Christmas, there is no understanding Christmas without understanding Christ. Now, I know that the Roman Catholic Church took some Roman pagan holiday and merged it with the celebration of the birth of Jesus, but they would have had no reason to do that had it not been for the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. And as we come to the Word of God, to the Bible, I want you to understand that this is the Word of God. This is God speaking to us, not whatever we think He is saying, but what He is actually saying in His Word. And so as we come to this, it is important to understand we've come worshiping Him, singing His praises, praying to Him, and now our Father talks to us. And with that in mind, let's turn Luke chapter 2, I will be reading verses 8 through 20 and then verses 36 through 38. This is the Word of God. "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." And then verse 36. "And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem." Thus far, God's holy and inerrant word, the perfect rule of faith and life. Let us pray. O Lord our God, as we come to this portion of your word, a very, very familiar portion of your word, we ask, O Lord our God, that you would be pleased by your spirit to cut through our familiarity with this to instruct us. Give us wisdom and insight into your word. Grant to us that we may see Jesus and that we may be made like him, transformed into his image by the power of your Holy Spirit, using the proclamation of your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This week, late Wednesday afternoon, as I was driving up the interstate, Hattie James Moore came into the world. Our second granddaughter, one of the top two most beautiful baby girls ever born in the history of the world. No, seriously. And of course, Nancy and I are delighted. Now, why do I tell you that? Well, besides the fact, proud grandpa. But there's another reason I tell you that. Well, you're the preacher and you're in the pulpit and you can, yes, there's that. But there's something else. We love good news, especially when it's good news that affects us personally. See, for us, this is good news. For you, oh, that's good news. But it's good news, and we love to hear that. And not only that, but when it's good news that affects us personally, we like to tell others about it, don't we? Indeed, if it's really good news, we just can't keep it in. Gotta tell somebody. And here we come to Christmas, yet again. And at Christmas, we're celebrating, and indeed, we celebrate it every day, but we are celebrating the greatest good news anyone could ever hear. And of course, the question is, what are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? Have you benefited from it? What are you doing with it? And there are three things in this text that I've selected for today that we need to consider. First, consider the proclamation of the angels. We've got the image, the shepherds, the middle of the night, the dark of night, maybe a little firelight, and of course the stars. And then suddenly, light! They're surrounded with light. The glory of God is surrounding them. Because an angel of the Lord has appeared. The greatest of all created beings. Servant to the Most High God, night and day before the face of God, beholding His glory. And no wonder this angel shines with the glory of God because he's in God's presence day and night. Glorious creature. A preacher friend of mine said you should never put angels on your Christmas tree. We do. But the reason was, of course, our portrayals of angels are nothing like what we see in Scripture. These are mighty beings before whom men fall down to worship and are told, don't do that. Worship God, not angels. The psalmist said, you have made man a little lower than the angels. And this is who appears. An angel of the Lord. And this angel says, don't be afraid, because I bring you good news. One way of interpreting this is, the angel said, I evangelize you. Because when he says, I bring you good news, the word he uses is the Greek word from which we get evangel, the gospel, good news. And that's what it means. I'm bringing you good news. I'm evangelizing you. And it's good news of great joy. But for whom? As we've already noted, my good news It's good for all of you, but not in the same way it's good to Nancy and I or to our children. So, for whom is this good news? And notice what the angel said. It is for all the people. All kinds of people. This is good news for all kinds of people. This is good news of great joy for all the people, regardless of age, wealth, nationality, race, sex, social standing, economic class, education, personal proclivities. It is good news for all the people. Because this one who is born, in him there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female. It's for all. So what is it? What is this good news? A baby has been born. Well, babies are born multiple times a day all around the world. Oh, but not babies like this one. First of all, notice what the angel says. He says, for to you, that's personal. To you is born. This is personally, good news for you and you and you and me. To you is born. Now notice those terms. Is born. This one whose birth the angel announces has a real human nature. He is born just like we were born. With all the labor pains and the mess and everything else, the cry of the baby, all of that, to you is born. He has a real human nature, a person. To you is born this day in the city of David. It's a real event that happened in space and time. If we could get in a time machine and go back there to that stable, we could stand there and witness the birth. We could hear the cries of his mother in labor. We could hear his cry as he enters this world. We could see it with our own eyes. It was a real event occurring at a real place, at a real time. This day in the city of David. But who is this? He said, still hadn't answered the question. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior. Now, people who do not need saving do not need a Savior. So why is it so significant that a Savior is born? Well, let's stop and think about it. God created us, all of us, in His own image. He created us to exhibit His characteristics, His righteousness, His holiness. And we chose to rebel. Our first parents, by eating the forbidden fruit. We, by making gods of our own. However we do that. We seek security in the things of this world. We seek identity in the things of this world. We seek comfort and pleasure in the things of this world rather than seeking all of our satisfaction in our Creator. And that's sin. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not something, sin is equal opportunity. All have sinned. You, me, we all have sinned. And what we deserve for our sin is death. Not just physical death, but eternal death. The wages of sin is death. And indeed, what we're told in Scripture is that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Apart from Christ, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. Now, can a dead person save himself? The idea is ludicrous. Of course not. We need a Savior because we are utterly helpless. We're not even like my friend Steve, who was drowning, and I reached out and grabbed him and pulled him to a safe place. He took when I reached out to grab him, he took hold of my arm. You know, he was able to do something. He thrashed around a lot, but spiritually, dear brothers and sisters, we were not even able to thrash around. We were dead. We weren't even able to cry out and say, "Help me, I'm dead." We needed a Savior. And so this one who was born is a Savior. He is one who would deliver all who trust in Him from all their sins. And He is Christ. He is King of Kings. He is perfect High Priest. He is true Prophet. He is the one who is the Word of God. The exact revelation of His nature. He is the one, as the perfect High Priest, who would not only offer up the perfect sacrifice, He would be the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one who even now has all authority in heaven and on earth. But it doesn't stop there. He is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, that may not ring any bells in your head, but you got to understand that the Greek word that is used for Lord, Kyrie, is a Greek word that was used to translate the Old Testament name of God. When Moses asked God, "What's your name?" God said, "I am who I am. Tell them I am has sent you." That's the name that this child who is being born is given. He is God in the flesh. So the angel's message is clear. God has been born into the world in space and time as a human baby in order that He may save sinful people and show Himself to be the Lord over all. And it's no wonder that angels enter into that proclamation saying, "Glory to God in the highest." And the question is, do you believe it? Are you trusting in Christ? Have you trusted in Jesus? This one who is born, who lives, and who dies and rises again, have you trusted in Him as your Savior and Lord? If you haven't, oh dear friend, come to Him today. Just cry out, call out to Him. Say, "Lord, save me." That's what I did, lying on a bed in a hotel room. "Lord, I need this. Save me, if You'll have me." And He did. And here the angels are proclaiming this good news. They are doing even as the psalmist in Psalm 148 said, "Praise Him, all His angels." You see, angels, the greatest of God's creatures, had the responsibility of proclaiming the good news. And yet, consider this. 1 Peter 1:12 describes the good news as things into which angels long to look. The angels aren't benefiting from the good news. This one whose birth they are announcing isn't coming and living and dying and rising again to save them. It would be like you going away from the church today and trumpeting to the whole world that your pastor just had his second grandbaby. What? And here the angels are, of course, that's their calling. They're called to praise God for His glory and His majesty and His goodness and to serve Him in announcing things on His behalf, to be messengers of God. They're not the beneficiaries of this marvelous good news, and yet they proclaim it. How about you and I who have benefited from this one's birth? This one's life, death, resurrection. Should we not then also tell out the good news? This is a proclamation of the angels, but consider the testimony also of the shepherds. Consider the testimony of the shepherds. Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Wow, that conversation that would have gone on between them. Let's go check it out. And so they run down to Bethlehem, and it says they went with haste. So they ran. They went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Those shepherds went off, and they found it, and they saw that it was exactly as the angel said it would be. And by the way, we're reading an eyewitness account. I won't have time to note this any further, but this is an eyewitness account. In all likelihood, this account right here is coming from the lips of Mary. Because you see verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. I can hear, can you hear her? Can you hear Mary saying, I treasured these things in my heart, and I kept thinking them over. But so here's what, these shepherds come in and they see it's just like the angel said. And then what did they do? They made known. They made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They told others about Jesus. They gave testimony to what they had seen and heard. And dear friends, that's all. When we talk about making Jesus known to others, when we talk about telling people about Jesus, that's all you're talking about doing. Telling others what great things God has done for you. Telling others what you have seen and heard. And notice these shepherds, they didn't just tell it to a few people. They made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. They were broadcasting this story far and wide, telling everyone they could, and they were enthusiastic about it. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. They were excited. This is great news, and they were going everywhere telling everybody they could. Anybody that would listen, they were telling them. And note this, this was in total disregard for society's view of these shepherds. While the angels are the greatest of God's creatures, these shepherds were among the least. In Israel, only tax collectors were considered worse, but even tax collectors are beneficiaries of the good news. Matthew 9:9, Jesus passed on from there. He saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. Even tax collectors, even the worst of sinners. This is good news, if you will but believe and trust in Him. Isaiah 57:15, I'll not read it, but it speaks of the fact God declares that He is with the lowly, with the contrite of heart. And you may be sitting there thinking, your preacher, you're talking about telling others about Jesus, and I'm just not smart enough, or I'm not rich enough, or I'm not powerful enough, or I'm not knowledgeable enough, I'm not eloquent enough, I'm not. Oh, dear friend, consider your calling. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. First Corinthians 1:26, Paul says, consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. There's a story told in 2 Kings 7:9. There's a story told of Samaria. Samaria is the city of Samaria, capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, is surrounded by the Syrians. And the Syrians are starving them out, okay? And the people in the city of Samaria are starving to death. And there are some lepers in the city of Samaria, and they say, this is ridiculous. Why in the world are we starving to death with these people? Let us just go out to the Syrian army, and we will either get food or they'll kill us. We're going to die anyway. And so they go out, and they discover that God had sent a noise in the treetops, and the Syrian army had fled in terror and left behind their clothes and their weapons and their food. And these lepers, as hungry people will do, descended upon the food and were eating. And then they realized, wait a minute, this isn't right. We're sitting here with all this feast around us, and our brothers are inside the city starving. So they go into the city and they tell the good news. Dear friends, there's a whole world out here starving, lost and dying and going to hell. What are we doing with the good news that we have been the beneficiaries of? Are we keeping it to ourselves? Are we feasting on it ourselves? Or are we telling others? Even the lowliest among men proclaim the good news. Now, there's one other group of people. I'm going to keep this as brief as I can. But consider, thirdly, the fidelity of Anna. And this really speaks to where all of us are. Well, almost all of us. Anna was a prophetess. She's in the temple. Mary and Joseph had brought Jesus into the temple for his dedication. He's 40 days old, so it's time for his dedication. And Anna sees Jesus. And look at how it describes her. It says she was advanced in years. Now, we don't know exactly. The Greek is a little confusing. It sounds like she was married for 7 years, and then her husband died, and then she was a widow for 84 years, which would make her somewhere between 105 and 110. She may be as young as 84, which some of you would say, well, that's young. But anyway, you slice it, the Bible speaks truthfully when it says she was advanced in years. And what was she doing? She was living in the temple, worshiping God day and night with fasting and praying. She was serving the Lord. She wasn't saying, oh, I'm just an old widow. No, she was serving God in his temple. And what do we see her doing in verse 38? And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. She proclaimed it. You see, Anna knew there is no retirement from serving the Lord. You may retire from your job. You may have life circumstances that change, but there is no retirement from serving the Lord until the Lord himself retires you and calls you home. And this is the testimony of Scripture. The Apostle Paul was faithfully serving the Lord at least into his mid-60s, maybe his late 60s. We don't know how old he was when he was executed. John was at least 75 when he wrote his gospel. And why did he write his gospel? He says it in John 20, verse 31. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You may be sitting there saying, but Pastor, my back hurts. My knees hurt. I need a third leg or I need a walker. Pastor, do you know how hard it is to get out of bed in the morning? No, I don't, but I'm beginning to learn. But dear friends, of course our bodies tire out, but that does not in any way preclude us serving the Lord. Notice what Anna was doing, worshiping, fasting, and praying. And then She sees baby Jesus and she tells everybody she can. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul has some words for you and for me in our infirmities. He says, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. You see, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has put His Holy Spirit inside you. And Jesus says, whoever believes in Him, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's saying, if you are trusting in Him, if you are God's child by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, you have the Holy Spirit living inside you. And the Holy Spirit is like a well of eternal life bubbling up from within you. So that even though your outer body is decaying day by day, your inner man is getting younger and younger. It's like having a perpetual fountain of youth inside of you. How can that be? How does that even work? Well, it works. In Colossians, we're told, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The problem is we do get too focused on the things down here. We do get too focused on the pain in our knee, and I know it's hard not to. My knee yesterday was killing me. I iced it good last night, and it's better today. It's hard. But what we're told is set your mind and heart on things above where Christ is. As the song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I think of Rosemary Miller. And I'm well aware of my time. I want to apologize to you. We've been a little bit off in our timing today. And this is not normal. But I want to tell you about my friend Rosemary. She is a pastor's wife. Married to Jack. They serve the Lord in pastoral ministry in Pennsylvania, and then traveling overseas, speaking on the mission field, and then eventually, and we tried to figure out how old they were, probably late 60s, early 70s, they moved to London, England to serve the Lord among the South Asians living in London. Shortly after that, Jack died. Rosemary stayed in London, continued witnessing to the South Asians of London. So her ministry is to Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists, telling the good news of Jesus. And Rosemary, just this month, celebrated her 94th birthday. Still serving the Lord, preaching the gospel to South Asian women in London. Can we tell our neighbors and friends about Jesus? Oh, yeah. God help us to do so. Dear friend, have you benefited from the good news of Jesus? Have you benefited? Have you, by faith in Christ, benefited from His saving work? Have you experienced His forgiveness, His working in your life and heart? Will you not tell the good news? You were dead in your sins and God made you alive. Not because of anything good in you, but because God is good. And He saves poor, messed up people like your preacher. And maybe like you too. Yeah. God in Christ delivered us from our sins. How can we not tell others? Not just at Christmas, but always. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, thank You for Your mercy and grace in Christ, and thank You for Your wonderful patience with us. And Lord, forgive us for our frequent silences. We ask, O Lord our God, that you would help us to tell the good news, just to tell others that it's real, that Christ has come, and that he lived and suffered and died and rose again for my salvation. And he can save you too. O Lord our God, help us to be witnesses of his grace this Christmas and always. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.